I offer this podcast freely. Your support really makes a difference. To make a donation, visit reneemckenna.com. Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name is Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person, turned therapist and shamanic healer, to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about addiction and spiritual experience. And I did a session with a newly recovering heroin and fentanyl addict yesterday and was really painfully reminded how the structures and behaviors that we create to keep us safe or even that help us survive at different times in our life can ultimately become a prison that can trap us in cycles of hopelessness, fear, and suffering. And we all have ways that we protect and defend ourselves and ways that we medicate and self-soothe. And as we grow and mature and evolve, we need to continue to update our own internal operating systems and how we manage our inner experience of the outer world. It's become clear to me that each person has their own inner IOS, internal operating system. And just like the operating systems need to be updated in our phones and laptops and computers, we need to update our own internal IOS of how we manage and move through and perceive the world. And lots of us are operating on really outdated systems and we don't even know it. And it's not part of our cultural narrative that we can update these things. And so we develop these systems of survival when we're 3 or 5 or 7 or 13 or 15, and then we keep using them for the rest of our life. Try running Apple Maps on an iPhone 4. Or doing a Google search on Windows 2.1. But lots of us are trying to do that actually on a daily basis, and we don't even know it. And we wonder why our applications in our life aren't running very well. We have problems in relationships, body dysmorphia, dysfunction with food, we drink too much, watch too much Netflix, have the same irritating conversation and dynamic over and over with our mother or mother-in-law. Unfortunately, most people have a low-level hum of dissatisfaction in their life. And the tragedy is that that dissatisfaction is not intense enough to actually push them into the discomfort of the unknown to make the positive, creative changes necessary to come to a more fulfilling and authentic life. Recently went to a get-together with a bunch of moms from my kids' preschool. Women I had been very close to who I haven't seen in a long time, and there was about 8 of them there, and every single one of them said they felt like they drank too much or smoked too much pot. And a few of them said they'd felt that way for a really long time, but drinking and smoking was such a part of their lifestyle they didn't know how to make any positive change around it. And one of the women did report that she had stopped drinking about a year ago and she felt fantastic. And there was a flurry of questions for her about how she managed that. And she said, I just made a decision and now I drink soda water and lime whenever I go to a social event. And like myself and many other people, she discovered that her life without drugs and alcohol was actually much better. There was a lot more space for the things that she enjoyed. And it spurred her to look deeper at herself and make some other changes as well, like spending more time making music, caring for her body. She'd gone back to therapy to deepen her relationship with herself and become more healthy. And she had returned to meditation and was experimenting with different spiritual practices. And all of that is fairly common, that drugs and alcohol and all addictive behaviors are medication to quell our underlying unresolved emotional issues and inner suffering. The perspective of drug addicts as bad people is really misguided. That all addictions, compulsions, self-medicating behavior is just that, self-medication. And it's medicating pain, suffering, discontent. And although it might be normalized in our society, it's not healthy. And although for many people it may not be terribly destructive, you may be able to maintain a job, show up for your family, look good on the outside. But what's happening on a soul level? Are we actually living our most authentic life? Or are we just muddling along, keeping the demons and the skeletons at bay? Because somewhere along the line, we've come to believe this is as good as it gets. And this is a terrible lie because we each have phoenix energy within us, capable of dying to the old life and being reborn over and over again. And it has been my experience that this death rebirth process, whether it's external or internal, is the cycle that we live on of this plane of existence. From a meta perspective, it happens on a soul level in our actual death and rebirth from lifetime to lifetime. But I'm on about my eighth set of stuff and my ninth rebirth, and I expect there's going to be a few more before I leave the planet. So if you think you're at the end of the road and there's nothing else to hope for in your life, even if you're on your deathbed, I'm going to tell you that your perspective is limited and skewed, that we live in an infinitely creative, generative universe whose greatest joy is creation. And true creation is actually about something new emerging that we couldn't imagine, that didn't exist before. I took chemistry in 1982 when I was a senior in high school. I actually loved it. I had a great chemistry teacher. And my father had been kind of a science nerd. In fact, he used to make his own fireworks. There was some story that he blew up the dining room table making M80s at his mother's house. So I must have inherited some of that science brain. In fact, in another lifetime, I would love to be a neurologist or neuroscientist to take a more physical approach to the psyche because I find it fascinating. But although we can do a lot of things, we can't do everything. So anyway, there was a periodic table of elements on the wall in science class. And there was some kind of idea that that was an unchangeable chart. And my son, not unlike my father, was also kind of a science nerd in high school. And so I bought him a periodic table of elements to put on his wall because he wanted one. And we were going over them and I was like, wait a minute, there's new ones on here. What the hell is hassium, unimpentium, darmstadtium? Apparently there have been 11 elements added to the periodic table since I was paying attention to it. Now, I don't think that those things have been created since 1982 in the universe, but they have been discovered. And there's probably more discoveries to come. And that's true within ourselves and our experience, our perspective, the components that we understand and use in our own life as well. There's a lot more available and happening here than we can probably ever be aware of, and continuing to grow and expand both our perception, our understanding, and our capacity. That, for me, is the experience of being truly alive, participating in this evolutionary flow. And I think it's the path to happiness that most people seek. The joy, fulfillment, and happiness are a verb rather than nouns that we acquire. That it's how we do things and the way that we live that are at least, if not more important than what it is we're actually doing. Now, what we're doing absolutely has implications for how we do it and how we feel about ourselves. My Instagram account got hacked and shut down this week, and I'm kind of surprised that I don't care. But I have been deeply practicing letting go and going with the flow. But I was thinking about, what's the consciousness of that person in Turkey, because I happen to know that's where they are, who's probably supporting their family by scamming and harming other people? They sent me an email asking for $500 to get my Instagram account back. And I responded with an email that said, get fucked, which interestingly didn't go through. So I thought, well, maybe it's not worth it to send that. And so I just said, God bless them instead. So when we spend our time harming others for our own benefit, it absolutely has implications for ourselves on a soul level. And if we take the time to look deeply, there are always opportunities and support to grow, mature, change, and adapt into more positive, constructive ways of living. And having had my own time as a thief and a petty criminal, I understand that mindset. But it was kind of a dark and painful place, and I don't live in that darkness and suffering anymore. And I'll get back to this new client, Zach, that I started with. Really intelligent, well-read, lovely person who's been deeply addicted to ketamine and other opiates for years. And those, of course, are massive painkillers. Ketamine is an anesthetic. So whenever I work with addicts, we have to know that they are anesthetizing suffering. And almost all addiction is a trauma response. So when we're working with substance abuse, we're really looking at ways that desperate people have managed unmanageable suffering. And we could say that all of those ladies from the preschool who feel like they're drinking too much, they're all managing suffering too, but it's not acute enough, hasn't caused enough problems for them to be motivated to make a really big change. Now that may happen, and certainly there's that one who stopped drinking, but often the suffering of where we are has to be worse than our fear of the unknown in order to make a radical change in our life. Now we can absolutely make radical changes voluntarily, and I'm so grateful that I have grown to that place where I can make changes in pursuit of joy rather than making changes just because life sucks where I am. Although sucky life is still a motivating factor and has been many times, and I'm sure it will be again. And sucky life is information. Suffering is information that something's wrong, needs attention, and probably is calling for some kind of positive change. And the sticky place is that most of us want positive change in our life, but we have these old operating structures that both try to keep us safe and can't imagine anything beyond themselves. The limitations of the intellect and the rational mind, profound limitations of creativity, imagination, faith, hope. And in many ways, Zach's experience points to the experience of many people in modern life, although it's much more extreme because opiate addicts are dropping like flies these days. There was something like 90,000 opioid-related deaths in 2020. Making it one of the leading causes of death in young people. But on a deeper level, he's not that much different from those ladies sitting on the deck in San Francisco wishing they smoked less pot. But Zach's addiction reached a critical mass and he went into treatment. And now he's trying to cope with life unmedicated. And I remember when my girlfriend Lori had colon cancer and she was actually dying but chose to remain in denial about her condition because it was too anxiety producing. She told the doctors, don't tell me anything, just do the treatments. I don't want to know what the prognosis is. And one day, about a month before she passed, she ran out of pain meds. And I was with her that day and we rushed up to Kaiser to get a new prescription because she was shocked at the level of pain she actually had unmedicated. And she got a glimpse of how sick she actually was. And because she had convinced herself that she had more time than she actually did, she put off doing some really, really important things, like going to live in her house in France that was her happy place. And I actually think that if she had been able to make the life changes to move to France, there may have been a different possibility for healing her colon cancer. But like many of us, tragically, she wasn't able to make the difficult changes necessary to support her own dreams and goals. Now, no one gets out of here alive, so following your joy doesn't mean that you're immortal. But happiness has a tremendous effect on our health, and I do wish that Lori got to die in France, because I think that would have made her very happy. But that's my wish, and it wasn't her path, and I'm deeply grateful that I had her in my life for the time that I did. So Zach, not unlike Lori, unmedicated, is horrified by the amount of suffering that's revealed since he has stopped medicating himself. And the basis of almost all of the work that I do and offer is about having a spiritual experience, creating practices, relationships, and pathways with and to the larger consciousness system, God, divinity, the spirit of nature, our own higher self, however we understand that. Because that disconnect, I believe, is the core suffering of all of humanity. We can trace almost all of the dysfunction that we have in our life down to feeling the fear of being disconnected and uncared for. And though on the ultimate level, we are always connected, we're like fish swimming in the ocean of consciousness looking for the water. And that looking and seeking is the intellectual process, that's the defensive structures, it's the patterned survival behavior of these old operating systems. And it's my experience, and I observe this in almost all of my clients, that when we actually experience that water of consciousness, when we viscerally feel that connection, when we have conscious contact with the larger system, it creates a foundational change. An addiction is an attempt at a spiritual experience. Alcohol is called spirits. That's not a coincidence. The explosion in psychedelic exploration is a chemical approach to spirituality. Totally valid tool, but I'll tell you, over time, it becomes unnecessary. Fish don't need scuba gear to explore the water. And most of the mystical traditions of religions and spirituality point to that great truth. Drop into your body right now and it's all available. Both our suffering and our joy. In fact, there's a great mystery that our difficulties, our suffering, our unresolved emotional issues actually hold the keys or are a portal to our most authentic self and the unmanifested optimal reality that's possible for all of us. Perhaps the unmanifested optimal realities, because I don't think there's just one. And I don't think it's a design flaw that we need to face our fears and heal our wounds in order to discover, experience, and manifest these greater potential realities, the Phoenix rising phenomenon, because the places we're stuck and wounded could be seen as places of lower consciousness. And we are here, I believe, to evolve consciousness to a higher level, to resonate up the consciousness scale from shame and victimization, hatred and blame, into courage, generosity, compassion, and unconditional love. And when we medicate our discontent, our boredom, our apathy or hopelessness, whether it's with shopping on Amazon, watching violent porn, drinking too much wine, or even overworking, we keep the system frozen. And when we have the willingness and the courage to really be present with what is, we find that life is a verb. Things are always in motion, working for our own highest good. And so there's an old saying, if you do what you always did, you're going to get what you always got. If you want change in your life, you need to change things. And the shortcut to change is to change how I spend my time. And so the next time you're going to participate in a self-medicating behavior, put down the ice cream, shut the TV off, put the wine back in the fridge, sit down and become present with yourself and ask, what do I really need? And I'm going to tell you, the universe is listening and wants to provide that for you. Thank you so much for listening. I'm offering a series of free webinars on Fridays, masterclasses on a variety of topics. You can find a link to those in the show notes. If you want a free download of the first chapters of my book, Allies and Demons, Working with Spirit for Power and Healing, you can find the link for that as well. I don't have an Instagram right now, but if you want to find out how a block of spiritual psychology work might be helpful in your life, or learn more about my mentorship program, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.